Priority is a word that was only used in the singular form for 400 years since it popped up in the 1400s. You never saw the word priorities because it's oxymoronic. And in recent decades, we thought that if we could change the word, we could bend reality. We thought that if we talked about having priorities, we could have multiple things in first place in our life. But you can't have more than one thing be prior to all other things. You can't have priorities. Martha's distracted by her many tasks. Now, she does have one priority, and that her role was to serve the household's needs, to get this meal ready for Jesus who visited them, to prepare the domestic duties of the house. And within this priority of Martha's, there were so many things distracting her and pulling at her. And she goes to Jesus and asks him to intercede because she doesn't want to talk to her sister directly. So she goes to Jesus for help. Could you make my sister stop acting like a man sitting at the feet of the rabbi and have her start acting like a woman helping me around the house? This is how cross-cultural or strange it was for Mary to sit at the rabbi's feet instead of to do what was her expected cultural duty in that time and place. Jesus doesn't play that game, but he does actually speak compassionately to Martha. Martha, Martha, you're distracted by so many things. And Jesus actually points her to the one needful thing, which is what Mary has, which is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to receive his word. And that word that he has spoken to Mary will not be taken away from her. And while Jesus is speaking that word, Mary will not be taken away from his feet to go do something else. Now, there's all kinds of ways that this Mary and Martha story, it's short, it's memorable, and there's so many ways that we can turn this into kind of a moralism of the week, trying to figure out, you know, some of us want to defend Martha. I mean, if there's no Martha, nobody eats. Some of us want to defend Mary and say, you always have to sit at the feet of Jesus first or before you go and work for the Lord or serve the Lord. Sometimes we talk about wanting to balance the two of them. We need to be a little bit like Martha and a little bit like Mary, and maybe slightly leaning towards Mary since Jesus clearly said she had the better part. But we're going to kind of back away from turning this into a moralism. We're going to look a little bit deeper at priority. Because honestly, Mary and Martha are both being faithful to Jesus. At some point, Jesus needs to eat. At some point, Martha needs to hear the word that Mary has heard. Both of these are necessary in its time and place. But hearing the word is the essential thing Jesus points out. And the hearing of the word is actually the one thing that will not be taken away from anyone. How you serve Jesus, whatever your Martha tasks are in the church or in your family or in society, your Martha tasks are going to change and they will come to an end one way or another. Perhaps a ministry that was dear to your heart for years in this place has ceased, and there's no longer that particular ministry or outreach. Or perhaps your own availability to carry out the service that you used to has changed. The work we do to serve Jesus and to serve the church and to serve society and our family, this work will be taken away from us one way or another. But the word that is given at the feet of Jesus will never be taken from you. It's the one needful thing, and it's ours for good, as Jesus has promised. This word of Jesus is prior to everything, has primacy over everything. But even before Martha made the natural choice to serve Jesus domestically with this meal and whatever else she was doing, and even before Mary made the choice to sit at Jesus' feet and receive his word, the prior decision was Jesus, who decided to knock on their door in the first place, who decided to make himself a guest in their home and to come and find them. We can't have priorities. We can't even actually make one priority or keep one priority. I am the Lord your God who called you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. How's that priority going? So we're going to back away from a moralism about balancing little Mary and Martha in our life or preferring one sister over the other. And we're going to talk about the priority of Jesus Because if the bad news is we're terrible at making a priority and we break the first commandment daily, if that's the bad news, the good news is Jesus is the priority regardless of our hearts, regardless of our own decisions and freedoms. Jesus is first. He is prior, and primacy is his. This is what Paul's talking about in this beautiful section. It's a mouthful. Cindy, thank you for doing doing on our behalf, reading Paul's dense paragraphs, talking about this cosmic reality of Jesus, that in him all things hold together. Paul describes Jesus as the priority. He says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and earth were created, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, or powers. All have been created through Christ and for Christ. He himself is before all things, that is, prior to all things. And in Christ, all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he might come to have first place in everything. In other words, you can't have priorities, and you can't even get the right priority straight. But regardless, thanks be to God, Jesus Christ is prior. Jesus Christ has primacy over all creation. And it's in Christ that this all holds together and has hope. Last weekend, we weren't with you. Our family was at Camp Lutherwood for family camp. And I don't know why it took us a few summers to do this, but we did go to family camp and spent the weekend there. Abel just visited briefly the last day. But we had a wonderful time. And Lutherwood's theme for this summer, I might paraphrase it incorrectly, but it's basically rooted together, or the roots go deep, or we're connected by deep roots. Here's the idea. They talked about how over 50, 60 years, there's deep roots at Lutherwood, that a lot of the families that were there for family camp, their parents and grandparents founded the property. They were some of the first hands that worked the field and created a camp for children and for congregations. And that rooted in Lutherwood, now all these future generations are coming to be together. And then not only rooted together in the camp, but rooted in creation. That camp pulls us out of cell phone range, camp pulls us out of our homes and away from our screens, and roots us in God's creation, and roots us in the community of Christ that he creates. They talked about how the aspen tree looks, if you go to a grove of aspen trees, it looks like there's 50 aspen trees, but they're actually the same living organism. All the roots grow together, have the same DNA, and are all connected below the surface, even though the aspen trees look differently and have different sizes above the ground. So my boys are going to help me out with this. Now, I'm not going to teach you a song because I don't have time for that, but I'm going to invite you, if you wish, to just start patting your heart. And I'm going to sing you a song that connected to the theme of rootedness at camp. So if you just go like this. And my boys can help sing if they want to. Put your roots down, put your feet on the ground. You can hear what she says if you listen. Put your roots down, put your feet on the ground. You can hear what she says if you listen. Because the sound of the water as it moves across the stone is the same sound as the blood in your body as it moves across the bone. Are you listening? Are you listening? Thanks, boys. It's pretty powerful to sing that around a campfire with other families. It's a great song that kind of illustrates that we're connected in Christ to all things, not just to each other and not just to a camp or to a church, but we're connected as family. We're connected to creation, to this world God has made and provided for us, but also provided for us to steward and care for. And in Paul's great passage here to the Colossians, this holding together that Christ has for all things, we find out what his priority is. Not only to create all things and to hold all things together, but to reconcile all things. Because above the ground, it looks like we've got more than 50 aspen trees. And a lot of disagreement about it, even if we're all the same tree, we're all connected. Below the surface, all things are held together in Christ. But above the surface, as you look around the world, near and far, there's no way we could be part of the same living organism, is there? But Jesus' priority was not only to hold this all together, but to reconcile all things to God, making peace through his blood on the cross, is how Paul writes it. Paul writes that you who were once estranged and hostile, doing evil deeds, Christ has now reconciled in his body through death to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. Christ is the priority. He's always ahead of us. He's always ahead of your own prioritizing of life. He's ahead of our goal setting, our goal keeping, and our goal failing. He's ahead of our Martha service and our Mary contemplation. He's prior to our decisions to turn to him as Savior and submit to him as Lord. He even beat you to your own grave, dying your own death ahead of you. He's prior to your sins with his word of forgiveness, making reconciliation and peace with God before we had even sinned a single time. He's ahead of us every step of the way. He's before us. Before we even ask for it, he sends out his word through the Bible, through preaching, through the word of a Christian brother or sister, communicating God's grace so that our trust could be renewed day by day. He's always one step ahead of us, being prior. In him, all things hold together. This is good news. It's good news that all things aren't held together by our properly ordered loves in our own hearts. It's not in the properly pruned desires of our body that all things will be held together. It's not in our forefathers and foremothers and traditions that all things are held together. It's not in our constitutional law that all things are held together. It's not in the Torah law of God that all things hold together. It's in Christ, his gospel, that all things hold together. It's in Christ, who on the cross made peace, and who is the firstborn from the dead, that all things hold together. Without the priority of Christ, any secondary values or vocations will shift from the hope promised by the gospel, which Paul warned against. And with the priority or the primacy of Christ, even our suffering can be a source of joy in uniting ourselves with Christ who suffered for our sakes. Paul wrote, "I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known." Can you imagine a church in 2022 in the United States trying to figure out what is going to be our priority? What is our one priority? And can we put that in a single mission statement or headline for our website and all of our publications? And can you imagine a church today in this place saying, our mission statement is suffering to make the word of God fully known? It just doesn't sound like a church that I want to check out. This is how Paul described his ministry. In fact, he might even say his mission statement is joyful suffering or joyfully suffering to make the word of God fully known. To Paul, his afflictions weren't even worth comparing to the glory to be revealed. His own suffering wasn't worth comparing to this incredible mystery kept hidden for ages that he was one of many commissioned to share. This mystery he describes to the Colossians as the hope of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul said there's really nothing in the way of carrying out that word that could stand in the way. Or as Jesus told Mary, that word will not be taken away from her. The Holy Spirit roots us in Christ, in whom all things were created, in whom all things hold together, and by whose priority promise we have the hope glory.